Imagine having all, guess all, of your learning challenges solved. With Docebo's Learning Suite, an AI-powered LMS built for enterprise, you can tackle any challenge. You can easily create and manage content, deliver training, and measure the business impact of your programs. Docebo is built for customers, partners, and employees alike, with dozens of integrations to embed directly in the flow of work. Check out Docebo today at docebo.com. Hello and welcome everybody to C-Lab, the Customer Education Laboratory, where we explore how to build customer education functions, experiment with new approaches, and my favorite part, exterminate the myths and the bad advice that stops growth dead in its tracks. I'm Dave Darrington, and I'm being joined today by Emily Brogan. Emily, say hi to the audience.
Hey, everyone. I'm Emily. I am the Customer Education Manager at Dovetail.
Yay. We're going to learn all about Dovetail, but we're going to learn about you and your customer education experiences today. So thanks for joining us. It's going to be fun. One of our first ones of the new year. So happy 2020. Okay. As you all know, we always start off with a slow pitch here, and I'm going to share my screen, and we're going to talk about what the day, the national day of is today, and is without further ado, if it'll load, please load. No, it's not loading for us. Three. Come on. Oh my goodness, I'll have to cut this part out. That's weird.
Any second.
It always does it for me. Come on. Hey. National Peanut Butter Day. Okay, I like that. Spread this streaming. Okay, I'm not going to read that. That's terrible. I like peanut butter, but we've got other things. National Lobster Thermidor Day today. I don't know what Paul Pitcher Day. Fun. Okay, what's your favorite for today? I'll roll with it.
My favorite. I actually really like Peanut Butter Day. I am a big fan of the peanut butter. I'm a crunchy person myself. Are you also, or you the?
I like a little bit of both, smooth. But what I like even more is jelly and then bacon.
Oh, chaos.
It sounds crazy. Not. All right, well, enough fun for the day. So, okay, let me frame this up and can give you a sneak peek of what we're going to talk about. What we always like to do, again, this is one of our practitioner leader episodes where we're going to put the spotlight on one of our friends in the community. You can go reach out and talk to and learn from as well. And for this episode, we've already talked a little bit. And again, this is storytelling. And remember that many of us come from different backgrounds. Emily, I've got one question for you about cricket here we're going to have to explore. But we all come from different backgrounds in this space, largely because, hey, we're in an environment where we're working with a lot of different technologies. All the companies we work for in software as a service can be in many different kinds of fields, ranging from, finance to customer success to what have you. So the sharing action and putting that customer in the spotlight, our customers learning what they need, helping them get what they need to be effective, to get the outcomes for the customers that we have. Customer is first, right, Emily? Is that a good place to start in your mind?
Oh yeah, definitely, always. It's been something that I have lived throughout my career so far. Just always being front and center to all the really important people that actually make us be able to do our jobs. I think that's fabulous.
Well, let's start out. I want to get to some big questions with you. And I think a great way to start here is, hey, let's go back to, we'll start with you. Where did you get your start, and how did you, I like to say, fall in or be called to working in this field of customer ed?
Yeah, it's been a journey. I think I have a bit of like a weird background. So I spent a lot of my time. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I did really fall into it, but I do like the other framing a little bit nicer. But my background is kind of in communication. So that's a lot of like what I did at university. I just love being able to communicate in different kind of ways, trying to communicate the same message, but effectively. And just talking to a whole range of different people. So I kind of, well, another place I kind of fell into was working in the event space. So kind of, as you mentioned with cricket, I worked at all these different kind of like variety of different environments where you meet a lot of different people and you learn how to kind of talk to them. Like, well, a lot of the time it's like on the fly, you kind of have to figure out, okay, like someone will come to me and be like, where's my seat row A, B, C? I don't know. And you kind of have to try and figure out the most effective and like efficient way to kind of communicate to that to them so that they actually like solve their problem, really. It's just all about like problem solving. And then so at my role at Dovetail, I started as the first dedicated support hire. So it was a lot of problem solving. In that role, I think for me, it's learning how to kind of use the product on top of teaching people how to use the product was a really interesting, I think it was like the most effective way to kind of learn people's problems and how to get through to them and basically how to put them first. Like just a lot of that kind of work.
Well, I think this was really important. Let me try to lock two things together, two pieces of what you shared. And you know, going back to the person who's in a, what were you kind of like an event manager? What was your role? Like I saw that you were working for a cricket organization at the time. I like that. I think that's really cool. But tell me, where was it and what were you doing there?
It was everything. So it was, I was kind of a bit of like a contractor to be hired out to different events. So some days I could be sitting at a registration desk greeting guests as they come through to an event. I could be at the gate scanning the tickets. I could be standing in the stadium being able to watch the game, which was very, that was a privilege. That was the best days because you just stand there and people will come to you every now and then be like, where are the hot chips? I'm like, okay, they're over there. Now let me see what's going on over here. But basically, yeah, it was just like you would get told on the day what you're doing. And it was really exciting. Like it was a very varied experience. And I think that's kind of helped me like shape me like as a human, but then also like my career as well.
That's what I was angling in because that experience, I could share just a little bit about some of my experience. I spent a lot of time in events, but I spent a lot of time in support throughout all kinds of different companies. What I learned from running events and being that person kind of like you were, hey, where do I go to do this? How to do this? I've got a really big problem, or even worse, everything's on fire, right? Figuratively, of course. Although one time we burned a generator out. I don't want to talk about that. That was scary. What I'm trying to connect to here is that there's certain kind of thinking and framework that people have that are drawn into this field. So now you find yourself, and I want to talk a little bit more about Dovetail and you're coming into this experience. So I saw that you ratcheted your career up there and now you've gone in from that. Okay, you said first supporters.
Mm-hmm.
How big was your company then when you arrived?
We had, I think I was, in terms of the amount of employees, we had about 30 people.
Yeah.
So very, very fresh. And a lot of the bulk of the people that were actually working at the time were mostly like engineers, product people, designers. And we had, there was a team of three of us working in sales, customer facing roles and in support as well. So it was pretty like, what is going on? I was like, I've been thrown into the deep end. Like I've really got to figure something out very quickly.
Yeah. But that, Emily, is a big deal. So those kinds of opportunities come up all the time, and I don't think we talk about these as much as we could. If I had it all up, I would show you this. But one of my favorite books right now is called Crossing the Chasm, and I'm sure you've seen the Gaussian kind of distribution where I'm trying to get to is you worked at that point for a very small company. They're a startup, 30 people. You were so fortunate to be in that moment that early for one profound reason, which is okay, it's your calling, right? You're the explainer in chief. You care. You have that experience of helping in the moment, and that every day is different. You're not going to have the same job all the time. Look at what happened in your career at Dovetail.
Mm.
Okay, so let's stay there. We're or go from there and take it forward. But let's talk about this the customer. You said somebody when we were in the green room, let's just call it that. We were just talking beforehand about customer first. And I think my hypothesis, I haven't done these a long time for C-Lab, but my hypothesis is that way of thinking about this emergence of knowledge and learning as your company, Dovetail, is new and you're excited and they're excited and we're working with all these people, but then your experience changes over time. So you're working with a lot of engineers and product people.
Mm.
Take us current. And before you take us through the story, where is Dovetail now from an organizational size perspective? Have you grown up a lot? Are you much bigger?
Oh, yeah. We're about 100 people now. So I think, what year was it? 2022, we scaled from where I was at number 30 up to about 70 very quickly. And so it was a matter of also like trying to educate everyone about what's going on and in dealing with like an environment that where so many people, we're all new and we're all very excited, but being able to kind of, okay, maybe time to take focus on like what actually we need to do here and wrangling everyone around the same vision has definitely been like one of the main challenges. But it's also been really like a really good opportunity to like for myself even just like to refine like how I communicate, not just to like customers about certain changes, but then also internally as well about like what I'm hearing, what my perspective is from like an education role, and how maybe sometimes some decisions, they can just be left to the side and we can focus on the things that really matter at the time.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. So you went from like support into customer success and now into customer education. This is the dream story of you. Did you know you wanted to go that route? Or did you just naturally find yourself there? You're saying all the right things.
Yeah, it's yes and no. I think because when I actually started at Dovetail, because of my background, I had no idea about the tech industry just at all. Like I was like, I don't really understand what do engineers even do? Like they're busy. They look busy all the time. I don't know what they're doing though. So I think it was when I started to kind of like get into my support role and learning like, okay, where are the gaps in the business at the moment?
Right.
And I mean, one of the big ones was education and learning how to kind of like scale content so that I could scale myself as like a lone support person to the company. And then moving into like customer success, it was kind of just like a natural progression where I already had a lot of the experience as well as the knowledge of our customers to kind of work with customers. Well, in my customer success role, it was more of like a one-to-many experience. So a scaled customer success manager and trying to kind of programatize, is that a word, the customer success experience. Yeah.
Yeah, I like how you're talking about. And then now you're big enough that you could speciate or segment your own team and all bring what... basically focus. So now you've gone up to the point where you've done a great job articulating and selling yourself, articulating the need, and your organization now knows that you need education to get there, and now you're doing it. Okay, let's pause that there. Let's put that a pin in it. I want to talk about customer education and your flavor, but before I do that, I want to learn a little bit about your tech. Can you tell me more about, I mean, hey, you know, and you've been there for a while. What's Dovetail?
What is Dovetail? That's the big question that we're grappling with every day. But where we are today is that high level, where the customer insights hub for product teams. And what that really means is that we are kind of like a central source of truth of where you can bring in every piece of customer data to analyze, have a look at trends, what is coming up, and kind of like guide and decision making, essentially. So allowing your customers to make, kind of create your roadmap in a way, like, and let them kind of be the ones to control that, or not control, but like allow them to be a part of the decision making process. It's
customer-led growth kind of technology that we're externalizing, you know, allowing that. Tell me a little bit more about what the customer is doing in the system. Or is it they're not doing anything? It's now I'm a customer success manager, or I'm marketing, or I'm product, and I'm looking at the data, and I'm getting a story of how our roadmap should go. Is that how you're talking about?
Yeah, so it's kind of, I think a roadmap is kind of like one of the examples, or like our prime examples of how people kind of use our product for that kind of decision making. But essentially, it's, if in really simplistic terms, it's where people can upload customer interviews, customer calls, customer meetings, anything, any of those touch points that they have with customers, and allows them to pick up themes that come up in this data to then make decisions, make a roadmap, and get to know their customer more. And so we have like a lot of people where maybe they're using it for different usability testing, as well as just general customer interviews, or just research projects as well. It's a very flexible tool.
That's interesting. So it would be something like I could take a Gong call and upload that, or I could take other. I got you. Okay, so we're analyzing customer data, we're sharing insights, and we're using that to inform our roadmap strategy. Which is, this is exciting to me, because these kinds of projects then flip on the inside out, where you go, okay, now we've got all this stuff going on. How do we teach people how to get the most value and the outcomes they desire? And notice the language that we're using here is not about education, it's about customer success, which is different. It's not the same kind of education that you would do in school. Okay, that in mind, here you are, you made it, you're a customer education leader, you're practicing the craft, and you built a function. So tell me more about now what's happened. What do you got to offer? What was your first roadmap, or your first goal for you or your team? And where are you at today?
Yeah, so when I was working in like a scaled customer success role, throughout that time, we basically just had our customers yelling and screaming at us for this, just some sort of guidance. They're like, I understand. I can see all of these amazing features. Yeah, exactly. They're like, I can see all these amazing features, but I actually just don't know where to get started. Like, I just want to know, like, what do I need to do now to achieve this? And so that kind of led to our decision-making in terms of making our own Dovetail Academy. I think that academies, universities are so valuable to customers, especially for self-serve learning, and being able to scale operations just as a business. And that was the first thing that I kind of knocked off the plate. So as part of that kind of project, it was a bit of needing to fix what we already have. So doing a bit of maintenance, a redesign of our like information architecture on our help center, and being able to, okay, how do we kind of fit the academy into that as well? So those are two big buckets of work that we've been doing. And it's been going really well. We've got some great feedback on it so far, especially from someone that hasn't done it before. It's like a rewarding experience.
Okay, well, let's hold that space, though. That's what's really important to us. That, okay, you said, I haven't done this before. You exude confidence, and I know you are. I'm looking at the academy. I've looked at it right now. It looks very sharp. What did you have any doubts, or were there resources that you had gone to that helped? I'm not leading you. I mean, like, we're always looking for what are the next resources. How do we go to get started? when you said our customers have our basically hair on fire and we don't know where to get started, I think this is the common problem we have. It's the blank slate, blank page, blank canvas, whatever you want to call it. It's, I can do anything, everything is possible. I'm not going to do anything at all because I'm overwhelmed.
Hmm.
And you knew that early on and you worked towards that. Were there any, building an academy is not easy. What did you decide to build on? Was there any platform that you chose or did you do it with a straight web?
Well, because it was a new function, acquiring any sort of additional budget would have been a bit more of a challenge. So we kind of did build upon what we already have as well. And I think there's a bit of tool fatigue. I think we can overplay it with too many things here and there. But if for just the one person, me, I think what we already have is fine. So at the moment, we use Contentful. And we use it for like our website, our help center, academy, just like everything that's online for Dovetail at the moment. And it's really suiting our needs. I think what the next step is being able to kind of start that feedback loop with our customers who are using that experience and try and determine from there, like maybe we should branch out to an LMS or like anything like that where it's a more sophisticated system. But for just myself, it's a little bit daunting just thinking, oh, I'm just the one person. I don't think I need a big tool like that just now. But maybe once we build the team and things like that.
This episode is brought to you by Vidyate. Vidyate automates the creation of software videos, making it super fast and easy to produce up-to-date content with every new release. From script to screen, with no in-between, you're able to skip all the manual labor of production by simply plugging in a script to the platform and then watching that video come to life in real time. Check it out today at vidyate.io.
I think that's good thinking because, well, and what I like coming out of this discussion is you've done all the things that we do, right? You diagnose the problem, you figure out what's happening organizationally, you spend time there. One of the ideas that kind of got stuck in my head more recently is why I like this field and why I get drawn to it. And I see that in you too, is it's kind of like you're being an anthropologist, cultural anthropologist or social anthropologist. And you're going into this organization and it's all about people and culture. Every company I ever go to is different. Some are like really energetic and fast moving. Others a little bit more slow and guarded. And that's the fun of this function, this craft. I think it's getting to know that. And then when you gain the trust of those organizations, look what you did. You build a university, you build an academy right off. And that's the first kind of step. Before I talk about the future though, and get back to that, I want to learn a little bit more about scaled customer success from your perspective, because this is something we're talking about heavily. It's a big motion when we have a global economic downturn in tech. You know, we don't really have that for everything, but in technology, we're getting beat up right now. The reason being is to maximize profits by shareholders, make sure the company is, we got lazy, we fired too many people. What's your thinking of scaled digital success or scaled customer success right now? How is it affecting your organization's education program and what you think about stuff?
Yeah, it's a funny one. So my kind of journey with scaled customer success after being in a support role was, okay, what is this? Like, how is this kind of different from support? How is this kind of different from regular dedicated customer success? And how do I make that happen at my organization? And I think that at the high level, scaled customer success is a one-to-many engagement. So trying to figure out how to personalize engagements with the company or with the customer, and basically making them feel like we're talking to them. And I think that it kind of ties in for me, the natural progression was to refine that a bit more into an education role, because scale customer success doesn't really have a definition. I tried really hard to kind of like refine like what that actually looks like for us. And I think it looks different for everyone. But what that means for one company is so different to another. And currently, like in my role, people understand what education is. Like we all go, well, hopefully the majority of us go through some sort of schooling system, some sort of learning system. And we kind of understand that. And getting buy-in internally, I feel like it's been a lot easier for me to kind of communicate what my role is and what I actually bring. So I'm educating people. And what that looks like, it's easier to refine. It's easier to kind of communicate out as well. So, yeah, it's a very, like, it's an interesting area. I think it may work for some companies depending on how they kind of scope that role, but it ties in so closely to education that just call it education. I don't know. Like, let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot here in a really good way. Nothing that you know or, but I really like how you brought context and your framework of what scaled digital success and scaled customer success is about. But when you say one to many, yes. And I looked up some stuff and, you know, I used to be a Gainsight team member. I'm a Gainsight alum. So I spent a lot of time in customer success and building out programs to teach people about customer success. And I really adhere to the practices. So I'm always trying to keep myself current. I like this movement, but I like what you said about it. Let's just call it education. The only caveat to that is, okay, let's go back and hold the moment and then space that you had just said some really important things about how we all have had education. We've all done education, right? Let's hold on to that for a moment. If you do education, like, let's say it's not you. You're doing the job. You know stuff about it. I went to university. You went to university. We went to high school, you know, whatever you want to call it. We're used to seeing it. And that's kind of one of many, but it was classroom. I'm sitting in a chair. I'm doing the thing, except for the poor students that went through COVID. This is where it all goes off the rails. But what's that? Like, is it, it's not the same, that kind of education. And I think we have this, I'm trying to think about the word, it's kind of like a paradox. It's like we'd say, oh, well, we know what education looks like. And then we have this thing called scaled digital success, and we're working at fast-moving startup companies. And you have to do different stuff. So I like how you're approaching it, because I think scaled digital success or scaled customer success is the acknowledgement of the fact that we have to move a lot faster and reach more customers with less touch, but we still need them to know we care. And we have to educate. And in every motion, when you were a CSM or a customer success team, how much were you training customers one-on-one at first?
Well, mostly I tried not to, but it was in the nicest way possible, but a lot of it was focusing, trying to, yes, I did do a little like one-to-one here and there, but that was mainly to learn how to scale that. So like, what are the things that people are reaching out about, and then figuring out, okay, let's make it more available to the wider public. So this, it mustn't be just you're not the only one with this problem, and this isn't the only way to kind of
special
resolve it. So yes.
Wait. I'm trying to catch up here. So are you telling me that in your organization, you skipped the one-to-one? Okay, let me back up. What I'm saying, I'm going back to all of my experiences in customer success and customer ed. Every single one of them, in fact, one of the more recent ones within the last couple of years, was I had to fight, Emily. I had to fight and get data and be sneaky and show my CS team, which was massive. Here's a stat. For my CS team that I was working with, they were putting in a 6-month time period, about 3,000 hours of one-on-one training. Now, is that formal training? Not really. It's, Emily, you've got a problem. Okay, I'm going to sit down with you on a call. Let's book an hour. I will show you all of that. That's what the team was doing. And I couldn't get them to stop until I escalated it. But you didn't go through that. You skipped over that part and because it was you and a very small team?
Yeah, it was. It's small team. Also, time zones. Time zones. so you're kind of forced to make it work. So if someone, depending on like what the problem is, you really had to nail that communication when you could do it. And if other people were asking the same thing, then putting that on the help center, putting it somewhere more public where they can self-serve that information. There were a lot of kind of, I didn't really have the privilege of being able to talk one-on-one to customers in person a lot of the time. But then also I think what also helped with that is that when people at the company did talk to customers one-to-one, they were recording the conversations and I was able to play them back. So using, not to plug Dovetail, but using our own tool to store those recordings, and then I could self-serve and be able to kind of pick up on, oh, okay, this kind of customer is asking these questions to our dedicated CSMs. They're talking to our product managers about this. How can I kind of create content from there?
Okay. Number one, I'm going to give you huge props because you're doing it right. And the reason I say that is that it's so refreshing to see an emerging company that's growing to invest in someone like yourself who bless you, gift you the time while you're working really hard. But I want to pat you on the back as well for going straight to understanding how things scale. And again, I'm not being pejorative or negative towards anybody else, but here's some of my experiences. I've gotten in some places where training was the thing they did, and it's live, all, you know, it doesn't work. And the caveat to that is that if your company starts with that, with the training, live training, it's very hard to get out. And even worse, if you have CSMs doing it, it's even harder, because the reason a customer success manager, or anybody in your organization who's not you, my friend, would want to do that, it comes from here. This sounds dumb. It's caring, because they feel like, okay, I don't have time to wait for Emily to get here. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking with somebody in the US or whatever. I got to do it myself. But that inculcates this urgency for us to have to solve the problems ourselves. And it doesn't allow us to solve the problems through scale.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that we're even doing even today with our customer success team. I've kind of latched onto them a little bit more at the beginning of this year to really improve like ways of working and trying to reduce those one-to-one interactions and scaling those engagements out. It's even though like, I think when I first started like team of three, team of four, and moving, now that we have a bigger CSM team as well, mm-hmm. It's been really like, you can see where things kind of, you fall back into the same patterns of working, and someone's just got to come in. I think this is me this quarter, is just come in and be like, okay, guys, come on, let's do this better. Like, we've got this. Like, we're still a small team, like relative to the rest of the business. Our CSMs and our customer facing teams are so small that we can't really afford even to have one-to-one interactions all the time. Right. So and with those one-to-one interactions, there's so many more customers with the same questions. So why don't we just like tick all the boxes and let everyone self-service their success journey themselves.
I dig this so much because that's the way to go. Because it's a call to action for a lot of larger companies or growth companies. If you, let's say, and I'm not saying you're leaving or anything, but let's just say we pulled you out of that environment and threw you in a company that was more in the middle of their growth journey or more in that later edge of their growth journey, it's very different. And I've been in all those sizes. And what I found is that, okay, now you're in an environment that's been, you know, you've done it this way all the time. This is how we've always done it. And now you're fighting those things. Or you have many different teams, like an enablement team or two or three. And then you might have an learning and development team if you're a larger company that's trying to take on some of the the core product related. What is this thing and how does it work? What have you done to help your own team and your organization across the lines to learn from the work that you've done?
Are you looking to elevate your live training offerings? Strico's virtual classroom brings the power of learning by doing to remote training, making it super easy to deliver highly engaging, hands-on customer training sessions remotely. Unlike conventional conferencing tools, Strigo allows your trainers to see customers interacting with your product during practice and offers just-in-time, one-on-one collaborative guidance so you can give your customers the premium learning experience that they deserve. Join leading customer education teams and instantly enjoy higher learning engagement and satisfaction. Visit strigo.io, that's strigo.io today, to get your demo. Be sure to mention C-Lab for a one-month free trial and the first 5 training sessions for free.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's all about relationships here. So trying to communicate like the value of my work. So I think with this first iteration of Dovetail Academy, I can just be like, hey, look at all these good things. Like, we've diverted all these conversations. Like, isn't this great? Like, even we have this thing every Friday called demos where everyone kind of comes together and they show what work they've done this week. And having even just like our salespeople be like, have a quick answer to be like, when they're talking to a customer and they're asking, okay, cool tool, but like, how do I actually get people to learn how to use it? And how do I get my product team on board? How do I get my researchers on board? How do I get my designers on board? They're like, well, there's this really cool resource called Dovetail Academy that you could just share with them and they can learn how to use it. And then all of this is recorded and it's so like so gratifying, especially for like I am a bit of a one-person team at the moment, but I try to like align people from across the business that let's not duplicate work. Like, let's maybe bring everyone together and align on the, like the one journey, the one customer journey that we want to plug the gaps and see where I can step in, see where you can step in, maybe all these different things and opportunities for us to work more collaboratively and cross-functionally.
I like that. I'm actually going to throw a harder question at you, though. And that is, how do you think that will change, or how can you preserve that kind of cultural collaboration as your company grows now from, would you say, 100-ish, 150 to, let's say, the next big point of inflection that I know I've seen and probably others in software see is around that, you know, 500 to 1,000 person point where your company might be moving, and I'm going to use venture capital terms, like a series D or E, where you've got a lot, you know, many more millions of dollars behind you and more expectations and a lot more people. Do you think you'll be able to preserve that? And what are tricks that you think you can use that are working now as you grow?
Oh, I hope I can. I really hope. So I think one of the tricks is being able to keep and stay in touch with the customers. Like, it really is. I think when you have that kind of, when you have a, like, I don't know, a hunch about something to be like, so for example, for me, it's like at the moment we're trying to help our premium customers self-serve kind of like their onboarding experience and making that journey really refined alongside our customer success team. And I think that one really important thing is making sure that we're both listening to the customers. Like, if they want to learn something in their onboarding journey, making it kind of curated to that experience of what they want to learn and what they actually want to achieve in their day-to-day, not just like what they want to learn about Dovetail, but like what they actually want you to succeed in their own roles and at their company. So I think that's one of the things, learning. I think also understanding, I mean, from a business perspective, like what's in it for everyone else? Like, just trying to get a bit of like, just keeping your ear out to be like, maybe the product marketing team might be more persuaded by this type of like activity that I'm thinking about doing, maybe there's a way that I can frame it to make it really benefit them. That's something that I'm really like working to do at the moment. So even with our customer success team, I'm like, I have a really prescriptive way about like what I think the onboarding journey should be like. And I think it's going to help you. So it's more like, for me, it's more about the internal buy-in than anything like that I think will be really important as we scale.
That's a really great answer. That it's different everywhere. But to me, the way you're approaching it is, and again, it's different for everybody. You're at a really important stage of growth. That I'd say, in fact, it's probably one of the most important stages of growth right now to have someone like you in the organization that's that guide or Sherpa or coach. And the engagement internally and externally are both important. One of the things that I've seen from just experience is, and this is a thread that we're trying to pursue, I don't know if this come off as really negative, but there I've seen kind of an arrogance that comes from, and leaders, hear me out on this, it comes from a place of control and fear. And I'm talking now about executives and senior leaders who don't really know education and what it can do, because, and they don't have trust in it because we haven't seen it really work organizationally. Reason is, you just can't have somebody come in who knows all about education and go, I'm going to throw adult learning theory and Patrick and all this stuff at you, and any exec's going to just check out. So we, why I'm saying it like that is that if you come into an organization that way, then you're not connecting with the tissue and the fabric, who is your people. And what you're doing natively is going to them, you're building that trust. You're showing what's there. It's showing up in the customer calls. You're a fluid part of the company. And that's what we need more of. It's we don't know how we're going to educate anybody and everybody, but we're talking to our customer. We're taking a customer first approach to focus on what they need. What I see most of the time, though, is, okay, we're going to do this thing. We're going to build this thing, and it's going to do that thing. And we hope for the best, and we turn away from it the next quarter, and we forget about it. And then we go, well, that didn't work. Well, because you're not leading, keeping up with it. You're not continuing to talk. What's the empathy? Do you have empathy for your customers? Where are they at? What are they missing? What do they need? And if there could be screaming from on high, and if you're focused downward about product, sales, you're putting all this stuff into the sales team, you miss the point. Nobody can use your product. Right?
Yeah, it's so true. Like, I mean, it's funny because it's really like, even as a software company that it enables people to be able to listen to their customers and learn from them when they don't necessarily have those touch points with them. But sometimes we can get caught up in that as well. It's not unique to any company. It happens all the time. And I think it really does take like the customer facing teams, the advocates, to really speak and voice what our customers are really thinking and feeling about things, and not just going to like, okay, we have a solution to solve, like the solution comes first before the problem. Like maybe let's like focus on actual problems that we want to solve and for our customers, because these are the things that they're getting blocked on. And I don't know, I think it's just really important that we have like a duty as like educators to also make sure that our customers' voice are in the room all the time and just giving them what they need. Like, let's just help them.
Yes. I don't want to say any more on that because you've articulated so well. That's the best way. The only thing I'll say is I used to work for Domino's Pizza and deliver pizzas as a kid. And they said, we have two rules, Dad. Rule number one is customer is always right. Rule number two, rule number one. Was it always true? No, we laughed about it. But the framing of, we're building this for you. We can't do it without the customer. the customer has to come first. And that's the principle behind every motion we have, because if you don't have, for example, a scaled success program, you know you're missing a whole bunch of people and they're going to fall through the cracks and churn. And similarly, so we're one degree down from that, but I don't see any differentiation in education. There's no difference between education and customer success and all these other functions. We're all teaching. Right?
Exactly. And really just the journey is making sure that we're all teaching the same things. We're not teaching people mixed messages, just keeping it simple, streamlined, and just been easy. Like, please.
Please. All right. I see a good natural point to start winding down. Would there be anything else you'd want to talk about with the audience? And again, you're talking to everybody in customer ed and customer success. We really appreciate your input. And I really like your story. It's good to come back to this and talk about the early journey, because a lot of us have been through all the steps. We think we know. We still don't. We're learning stuff every day. And that refresh and level set about what your journey has been and frankly, how you did it right. Great work. I really dig that. And we're going to learn more about Dovetail. Anything else you want to say?
No, I thank you so much. That was so lovely. It can be so hard. Like, I feel like a lot of us out here are little lone soldiers just trying to fight the good fight. And that just hearing you say that is so validating, and I really appreciate it. But yeah, we're all here. I feel like once, especially podcasts like this, I listened to Dave, your podcast, like before I even started this role. And I was like, okay, great. There's resources out there. There's actually people out there doing the same things as me. And we just want to learn from each other. So I think really just at the end of the day, like, just keep it simple. Keep it simple. Listen to your customers and listen to actually learn from them as well. And they will really just help guide your journey, even at your companies.
That's fast. That's perfect. I love it. All right. Let's walk out the door here. Again, I have to do my spiel. If you want to learn more, we have a podcast website at just customer.education. We also have a new community that's out there, and we're going, and by the time you see this, I'm sure you'll be able to join it right away. But it's a community of practice where we're meeting people like you, Emily, and thanks for joining today. You and everybody else makes this community. We're trying to find the others. We all have different points of view, but together we can make this a practice and a function and an art that we love and enjoy. And the companies that we work with will appreciate that even more. So I'm on LinkedIn right here, probably be streaming at Dave Darrington. Emily, where can we find you if people want to reach out on LinkedIn as well, or do you live in another social media platform?
I mean, I'm always in TikTok, but probably not the most work appropriate. But you can find me on LinkedIn, definitely. Just Emily Brogan at Dovetail.
Fantastic. All right. We also have special thanks to our good friend, Alan Coda, who provides our theme music and makes some fun stuff. And if this helps you out, you can help us out by subscribing in Apple Podcasts, Overwatch, Stitcher, all the different podcatchers. Give us a 5-star rating, give us feedback. And we love that. That's what really keeps us going. And to our audience, once again, as always, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being part of the family. Get out there, educate, experiment, and find your people. Thanks, everyone.